Yes?
Secretary Rusk on one.
We have a telegram from Saigon. The South Vietnamese would like to put in their reply to U Thant before Guam, so it would not look as though it was sort of dictated to them at Guam. Their reply accepts U Thant's proposal in principle, but then it makes two suggestions. One, that a military truce ought to be worked out by the military commanders, perhaps meeting in the demilitarized zone between North and South. And secondly, that they suggest we would just go on to an international conference among the interested governments. They don't reject the idea of preliminary talks, but they say, why don't we just have a conference? Now, this is consistent with various things that we have said, but I think there is some point in their going ahead and putting in their reply before Guam. On our own reply, there's nothing in it that we have not said many times before. And if Arthur Goldberg were to make clear to the Secretary General that we've made many diplomatic approaches to Hanoi without success, and they failed to agree to discussions, and we should not suppose that we're going to take further preconditions which Hanoi might seek here, and that we're not prepared to accept Secretary General's proposals and negotiate down from them. I think there is some advantage in getting these things off. There's nothing in our reply that we haven't said publicly on a number of occasions. So I would think we ought to go ahead and make it quite clear to the Secretary General that he mustn't try to negotiate us down without anything from Hanoi in his hand.
Well, I just have this thought. I proceed from one negotiation to the other, constantly waiting for something that never comes, and usually find myself in worse shape at the end of the proposal than I do at the beginning. And I think that at the time, after all these attempts, 15, 20, that we have agreed to, time ought to come sometime when one of these proposers, these guys that like to get into these acts all the time, would at least be told that you bring us something and you'll find a pleasant and favorable response. But you don't take anything from us until you get something from them. I just think we ought to. Because if we don't, I'm very fearful that you'll be in here next week and saying, now, Mr. President, I just don't think we ought to be doing this week on account of so-and-so. Now, we constantly do that, and 3 years of it, and we're on borrowed time now, and just a few months here before the judgment day. And I think I don't think U Thant is our friend. I don't think he'll do much for us except embarrass us. I think the whole outfit up there is a potentially very embarrassing thing. So I just want to meet him as frankly as I can to begin with and say, now, you go and show us what you can deliver, and your problem will not be with us. We'll be reasonable, but I don't want to be saying that we're willing to do so and so and so and so until we know what they're willing to do. Now, heretofore, we've been doing this, but that hadn't produced anything. And I wish we could just one time say to them, tell us what you'll do. That's my feeling.
Yeah, well,
I'm afraid that you and Bob will be in next week saying, well, now, we agreed to this. We told him to go ahead, and we would do so-and-so. And I'm terribly afraid of these negotiations at this stage because I don't think they want them, and I don't think they're ready for them, and I don't think they're prepared to give a damn thing. And if they were prepared, I'd be more frightened than I am because I don't think they're prepared to give what we must have. And I think the time, we have a limited time to go ahead and get ourselves in condition. And I don't want anybody interfering with it, with the Ronnings or with the British Prime Minister or with Kosygin or any of these folks, if we can. I think I'm prepared to pay the price with public sentiment going against me if U Thant does this. But I know this, that when U Thant makes a proposal, or Bobby Kennedy makes one, or somebody else one, although we are ready to do our part, it just costs us 5 or 10 points next week. We get their hopes up, and then the people say, oh, good God, here it is. And then they failed again. Each time we strike out. It's just like Mickey Mantle coming to the bat and we strike out. And I don't want to give them enough hope. I think that it's going to be a strikeout, and I think it's going to cost me another 5 or 10 points and a lot of criticism. So I'd like to put them off till the atmosphere is a little better, until there's some chance. I think that with this constitution, if it comes through out there, and if we can get an election in 90 days and have that work out well, I think we're going to be in a lot better condition than we are now. And I don't want to just say, no, we will not. But I think we could say, we are ready and willing if you can show us anything from them, period. Now, what we'll do depends on what they ask. But if they bring us another Pope's letter, why, you know what the answer is going to be. Now, is he in a position to get much better thing than the Pope? If he did, I'd be frightened, because I might have to say no.
No, I think our problem here is stems from the fact that Bhutan is not helpful to us, and that he would parlay this thing into an appeal over our heads to public opinion here and abroad, unless we put something in that would just just cut across that. Now the substance of what is in our proposed reply is simply something that we've said many times before.
We had different conditions before, though, Green. We had 80% before, and we're down to under 40 now. And we're getting weaker all the time, and we've said before we'd have pauses, and we've had 3 of them. But the situation's a lot different now, and we just finished the last big negotiation with Wilson and Kosygin, and I think we came out of it worse than we went into it. And we just played with the mothers of this country, indicating there's some chance, and this, and there's just one little eyelash, and it would have been a peace in the world, according to Wilson, and I think that's cool.
Well, I backgrounded at the press yesterday when they asked me about this business. All the rumors all point to one question: where is Hanoi, and what are they doing? And unless you get an answer to that question, you haven't got the peace yet.
That's right. That's what I want to tell you, Don and Goldberg, because they're not up to any good purpose. They just think it's a problem with the Hawks and Johnson and Rusk and the generals and so on and so forth. And
you would have no problem about South Vietnam going ahead with the plan?
Well, I want to give them any leadership that you think you can, consistent with my feeling. I just don't want you to get grabbed by the nape of the neck, hauled in to some kind of a meeting, and go repeat Korea all over. And I think that you're playing in explosive minefield, and I don't trust these people that are leading us into it. I don't think their motives are pro-Johnson.
Is there any special points we want to emphasize with the governor's attempt?
Yes, I want that to chart.
Yes,
I want to take that, and I want to take the attitude I'm taking now. I want you to take the position, and I got it from you. Usually I just repeat what you've said a week before, but I want you to point out that they don't answer you on the phone, and you've said it, and you've said it, and you've said it, and the time comes that when you get out and you make your public pleas, and you get on your knees, and you walk, there comes time when a proud country just thinks that they ought to keep their men standing and waiting again for these things, and until they show some seriousness. Now, you see no reason why we ought to jump in and say, peace, peace, peace. Now, we want peace more than anybody, but the best way to get peace is to be a little bit firm and have a little dignity and support these men out there. And you do that very well, but I would really go awfully strong on it, and I would show you charts, go over them and say, now here's 17 nations, and we did it in one day. We met our Security Council and our president. We said, yes, sir. And they said, no, no, no. Now they've said no to 17 of them. And here's the last thing they've said. This is the Pope. Now I want you to read these, and I want all of you to remember, governors. It's 4 things they told us we had to get the hell out of there.
Yeah.
We had to stop our bombing. We had to turn it over to the Viet Cong communists. Now, we just can't do those things, and that's the last thing they said. Now, all this private stuff, we don't have to depend on Weinstein or Bill Baggs or any traveling people. We can talk directly to this man. This is his attitude, and he confirmed it to us, and he confirmed it to the Pope.
Right.
And okay. Well, now on the Goldberg thing, it's your judgment that I want to follow, but I sure want you to know, and in making your decision, I want you to know my instincts.
All right, fine. Thank you.